outside consulting?
No, I haven't done. My last paycheck was 2 years ago. So, my tax for that year was $1,200 I had made. I think I worked for maybe $6. So.
Yeah. Well, I worked until August of 20. I had sold my practice to a partner. I had a partner, and she's still running the firm. Firm still got my name on it, I don't. Other than have lunch with her once a week, I don't have anything to do with it. So
yeah. All right. Well, let Tom have his meeting back here. So
yeah, exactly.
No problem. We're still waiting for some folks to join us. All right. I see several folks have joined us, but waiting on some more members of the commission.
Well, Jimmy, at least you got some new sidewalks on 6th Avenue this morning.
Oh, yeah. I did see that. Yeah, all those trees that blew over pulled up all the sidewalks with them. So.
Ronstadt House was amazing.
Yeah.
Well, one of those trees that got pulled up and then one of those storms ended up on my wife's car.
Oh, no. Oh, brother. Yeah, it buried a couple cars. It's huge.
I'm a little unfamiliar with this Teams. I've been on it a few times. I've been kind of negotiating how this particular platform works. So I did find that. Thank you, Thomas. I did find the mic. And okay, I'm starting to see up on the top right stuff what some of those options are. So, okay.
Yep, so, thank you. Yeah, just let us know if you have any issues in the chat or let us know, and then we ask all participants to mute their microphone until called on or until it's time. And we'll just give it another minute if you guys don't mind. I was trying to see if Jill is on. Jill, are you on? I don't see your... Oh, there you are.
Jill's
here.
I just got here. Yeah, hi.
Okay.
Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Sorry.
How are you, Jill?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you guys all doing?
Good.
Good. Hi.
Thanks. Well, I wanted to make sure you were here, Jill, and I can let you take it away.
Yeah, well, Jeffrey, can you do the... well, let's call the meeting to order. We have quorum, it looks like, yes? Yeah. Great. Jeffrey, do you mind doing roll call, please?
Casey Anderson. Zachary Baker. Jill Brammer.
Here.
Bill Calvert. I see you, Dale. I'll mark you anyway. Glenn Cross.
Sorry about that. I'm here.
Yeah, Glenn Grabs, he's here.
Graham Hughes?
Here.
Richard Mayers?
Here.
Larry Moraga?
Here.
Janine Mortimer?
I'm here.
Kathy Rivers?
Here.
Jim Sayer? Jim Early here. Jeffrey Stewart is here. Zach Ensor.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Wonderful. Thank you. Let's see. So it looks like we have some folks in the audience, so we'd like to do a call to the audience. Go for it, Jim.
Hi, my name is Jim Glock. I'm with the West University Neighborhood Association. I'm the chair of the Transportation Committee, and I'm before you today on my campaign to prohibit parking between the curb and the sidewalk within our historic district. West University is one of six historic districts within the city that has underlying historic zoning, which is different than many neighborhoods. We have design guidelines that discourage parking in front of one's home. We have a residential parking permit program along most of our block faces, and people are parking between the curb and the sidewalk, and I believe are then not participating in the residential parking permit program. We have extraordinarily wide streets. Parking on the streets help calm traffic by folks parking in the sidewalk area. That leaves the streets wide, and it ends up with folks speeding along the streets. The current code defines the walkable area that one needs to leave behind as they park in that area between the sidewalk and the property line as only 4 feet. Current City of Tucson Department of Transportation standards under its new complete street guidelines calls for sidewalks to be 5 feet. The neighborhood has a significant amount of funds that it's prepared to utilize to complete our sidewalk network within the city, and the parking of vehicles in this sidewalk area is problematic. And then finally, we are also striving to do a lot more water harvesting projects where we do excavate the area behind the curb to capture stormwater runoff along our streets. So it's made this appeal before the Complete Streets Coordinating Council. I'm coming before the Park Tucson Commission to have you guys look at seeing whether or not, at least in the case of West University Neighborhood Association, an exception to Section 20-277 can be put in place for our neighborhood specifically. I think from a policy perspective, I think it's one you might want to reconsider. I understand the genesis of the allowing of parking, but that is really not applicable to our particular neighborhood. And again, I'd ask the commission to revisit this, amend the code so that it is not allowed within the West University neighborhood for whatever basis or reasons you guys can come up with. I'll leave that to you. So, and I'm happy to continue to participate in this. In fact, you'll hear from me monthly at your meetings, restating this until some actions take root. So, with that, thank you.
Well, thank you, Jim. Is somebody else? Mark, please.
Hi, I'm Mark Holman. I'm with the Rincon Heights Neighborhood Association, where I've lived for 47 years. And we've seen lots of changes. And I recall what this was all like before we had residential parking permit. And Jim, we support what you're saying. Our situation is a little different from yours. That is, when the streets were crowded with cars, it was a very unsafe situation. And people dodging between cars. We live just south of the university. And so we had some scary incidents when kids were just dashing across. We don't have that many kids anymore in the neighborhood. Animals and things like that. So keeping the streets clear is a much safer condition for us. It is.
And I won't debate that.
Huh?
I won't debate that.
Okay. I'm just tuning in to listen to the conversation today. I wasn't necessarily prepared for a call to the audience thing, but I just wanted to make, I looked at all the information that you sent out. Tom, thank you very much. That was very thorough. And I was struck with the fact that you, and I'm guessing the rest of the commission, are really intending to do a good job here and trying to balance some competing interests not only among neighborhood interests that might be different from one neighborhood to another, but just the, basically making sure that the program is solvent while still being able to provide some assistance for continued improvement of the neighborhoods. And so I'm interested to see how that balance or that tension, excuse me, might be explored to serve both interests. In our, in my view, the keeping those streets for us safe and for us uncluttered is fundamental. And the ability then to take the revenues produced by the program to make further improvements, while it's important, is secondary to me. And so as we're looking to how to resolve this tension, I know that there's going to be some discussion about what is the, you know, kind of the intent of the program, how can serve these kind of maybe different interests in terms of solvency and revenue use for neighborhood enhancement. Now, one of the things I wanted to, and I'll let, and then I'll be quiet here, Thomas and team. We have noticed over the last, I don't know how many years, a lack of enforcement. And with vigorous enforcement, it would seem to me that that produces revenue. And the lack of enforcement not only then leads us to have cars parked in the areas that Jim is talking about, but also on the street, a lot of vehicles that do not have any kind of parking sticker or anything are just sitting there all day long. And so it runs against the purposes of the program, but it also diminishes the opportunity for generation of revenue. So that might be an option for us to explore as we help to that tension between solvency and neighborhood enhancement. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Does anybody else in the audience want to speak?
This is Nancy DeFeo.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi. I'm here from Sam Hughes. And I just want to say thank you for your transparency and your putting out the accounting of the program, which has always been a problem, trying to find out, you know, what's going on with it and how much money we've accrued and how to spend it. So I'm really pleased with that. And I do agree with Mark about the parking on the streets, because in our neighborhood, if people are parking on both sides, you can't get a fire truck through or emergency vehicles. And people trying to pass, you know, you have to pull over, find a parking place so that someone can come your direction, and you wait to go the other direction. And it's kind of dangerous. We have a lot of bicycle traffic and kids going to school, et cetera. But, yeah, I agree that enforcing the traffic, the parking is important in our neighborhood. Oh, and the president of our board is interested in knowing how to access funds and when we can start that process and how much for this year. So I'm sure you'll cover that.
Okay, thank you very much, Nancy. And it looks like Stacy, you have your hand up.
Hi, my name is Stacy Plassman. I'm president of the Rincon Heights Neighborhood Association. And I'm here to listen in and find out the same information about fund availability like Nancy was just mentioning. So I'll just be listening in and learning what I can learn. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. It looks as if everyone has spoken that has wanted to speak. That's great. So we'll move
this
on.
This is Aaron Paxton. Let me just say really quick.
Oh, hi, Aaron. Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't see you there.
That's all right. I'm just looking to see the outcome. I think there's a proposal in place that's going to be voted on today. Is that still happening?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. Yeah, hopefully we get a good outcome out of that. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Aaron.
So, Jill?
Yes.
Before we continue, I just like,
I forgot to call Alexis Ryland during roll, but I do see that she is here.
Oh, okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm here.
Hi, Alexis.
Hello.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone. We appreciate you coming and speaking. We're going to move on to item number four, the minutes from the last meeting. Does anyone have any comments? Do we have a motion to approve?
I move to approve the minutes.
Thank you, Graham. Do we have a second?
I'll second. This is Richard.
Okay, thank you. And we have a second in Dale if we need it.
Yep, exactly.
Great. Those minutes are approved. Moving on to the chair's report. No report. Is there any discussion about the minutes? Okay. Thank you. Item five, no chair's report, so we can move on to item number six, administrator's report, please.
Thank you, Jill. Thanks, everyone. Great to see everybody today. I'm going to share my screen and share with you the first topic, and that's school zone parking and traffic impacts. And the city, several departments, including Traffic Engineering, Park Tucson, other representatives of the Department of Transportation and Mobility, the police department met with Tucson High School regarding traffic impacts in the neighborhood and how mitigation options can help. There were discussions with TUSD about several ideas that were brought to the table.
You're muted, Jim Thomas.
We can't hear you anymore.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I must have hit the mute button by accident. A couple options that were proposed for Tucson High School, and we're seeing traffic impacts in the Iron Horse neighborhood along 8th Street, along 3rd Avenue, and beyond. So we were trying to think of ways to try to get cars off the street. One idea that we came up with was a ring road in the athletic field. Tucson High School said they would look at that with the egress and access points. We also encourage Tucson High to consider opening a gate as far west as possible on 8th Street near 3rd Avenue to encourage the cars to move down the sidewalk and open up as much curb space as possible. They are receptive to this option and are going to take a look at it. None of the options proposed, were guaranteed or met with any approvals. The Tucson High leadership said that they would look at it and see if there's funding available. And funding is the main sore that keeps or the main obstacle that keeps us from implementing some of these things. They also said they could explore having monitors out in traffic, but also kind of an expensive solution. The issues are that vehicles congregate around the gate where the students are let out, talking about, relocating that gate. And also the idea of a parking structure was proposed. This could be a partnership between Tucson High, the city, and FAMA. But that has not received any traction. It was just an idea thrown out there. And nothing concrete has been moved in that direction. As far as offsite parking, Park Tucson is offering Tucson High off-street parking, and off-site parking in the downtown neighborhood parking structures. We're willing to provide a discount for students who park there. The school or the students would have to figure out, a ride back to the school. There are many public transportation options for that. And we would also be willing to find a bus location if Tucson High would provide a special bus. But they did express some limitations with their bus availability, particularly with the amount of vehicles. They do share vehicles among schools and also the staffing. So we also really pushed on our off-street or on-street permits. Those are our student commuter permits. We made sure Tucson High is aware about those. And we also encourage Tucson High to meet with neighborhood association meetings, our Park Tucson Commission, and wanted to just continue the conversation. I will say that Tucson High does a great job of balling up this information for their students. There is a PowerPoint here on the screen that they do share with their students and parents. It talks about the parking situation and how and where to park. They do realize the issues that the neighborhood is facing, and they make that clear to the students. So they provide options for students on where to park. They talk about the city options. Here's our parking map from the city of Tucson and all the parking locations. And really, you know, they do a great job here, and it's really about education and enforcement. So making sure that the students understand this, coupled with Tucson Police Department presence. Park Tucson did visit the school, the neighborhood around the school, the day before school on July 31st. We issued several tickets, set the tone, and we've heard that during the day the parking situation is a little bit better, but we do understand that the traffic situation is still an issue. So I do promise to continue the conversation. And, you know, this is just continued information, not a whole lot more to share there. But essentially, the other schools that I'm working with include Mansfield Middle School, Rincon High School. Next on the list is Ross Grouge High School. So we're going to focus on this and keep all the opportunities available on the table, keep the dialogue open to try to reduce these impacts as much as possible. I'll take any questions. Okay, seeing no hands. Parking permit programs activity update. As you know, the city of Tucson offers several permit programs. One is our student commuter parking, the other our residential parking permit that we just wanted to touch on. I wanted to ask Park Tucson Superintendent J.R. Kelly to give us a brief update on the permit program activity so far.
Good morning. So our student commuter permit program, we are about 96% sold out for that. I do expect probably by the end of next week that we will be completely sold out for our student commuter. It seems to be a little bit earlier this year than in years past. Normally we're about mid-September to October before we get completely sold out, but this year I think that there's a chance we hit it before the end of August. For our residential program, I don't have any numbers for those, but we are seeing quite a bit of an increase in foot traffic in the office dealing with permits, purchasing permits. That's about norm for August and September. It's just, unfortunately, I don't have any numbers for you for the residential program.
Thanks, JR. I know that with August, it creates a lot more activity, both for the on-street residential commuter, a non-residential commuter, but also for residential, making sure that, you know, these residents make sure that they have their permits for the year. And, you know, the difference in timing there, for the residential permit, you can buy that permit anytime throughout the year. It expires after a year. It just so happens that a lot of residents do buy them in August. So a lot of expirations, renewals for the residential permits, coupled with the student non-residential activity. It's a very busy time. I've never seen the office this busy. So a big shout out to the crew. JR, thanks for handling all those requests and all the activity. And we hope to have some updated numbers at the next meeting. So take any questions on those topics. Okay, I don't see any. Thank you, Joe. Next topic is parking service agent staffing levels. Want to give everybody an update. Unfortunately, three of our parking service agents left the team in the past month. We were up to a full staff for a short amount of time.
We have three vacancies. Some good news, just yesterday we had a temporary employee start work. We do have a temp on staff now, and we plan to open three parking service agent positions on September 16th. We're in line just with the rest of the divisions here for our HR department to open up those three positions. So those are parking service agent one positions. And as you know, those agents patrol, monitor, and enforce within the Park Tucson boundaries. And we're making sure that the staff, this Thursday we have a tailgate meeting scheduled, making sure they're safe, on the lookout for all the new increased activity on the roads, and whether that's pedestrians or vehicles in Tucson here in August. And really the focus is communication with the public, putting, we're ambassadors to the city. We aren't about, citing first. We believe in education and compliance and then citing. So really going to hit that message again with the team and making sure that we have the highest customer service levels that we could possibly provide to the community. Just reiterating our overall overarching goals and what the team's mission is there, and utmost to be safe and to provide a safe parking atmosphere and environment for the city. I'll take any questions on that topic. Thank you.
Okay, so that wraps up the administrator's report, yeah?
Yes.
Great, let's move on to item number 7, proposed extended meter enforcement hours communication plan.
All right, thank you, everybody. Over the past few months, during a couple meetings, the Park Tucson Commission did review proposed parking meter enforcement hour extensions. Several reasons to do this. And there was a menu of options provided to the commission to take a look at. This was based on occupancy numbers on street. And I'm going to share my screen here to show everybody what the plan is. And this information was shared with the Downtown Neighborhood Parking Business District Subcommittee previously, back about a week ago. So currently the parking meter enforcement hours are Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. The proposed parking meter enforcement hours are Monday to Saturday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. So the change here is adding 3 hours a day during the week and another day to the schedule on Saturdays. So as I was saying, over several meetings, the commission discussed these options. Previously and currently, the commission supported and suggested an extension of the hours for several reasons. Park Tucson conducted on-street occupancy counts over the past few years, which showed a consistent lack of on-street parking available after 5 p.m. and on weekends. Several different extended hour scenarios were presented. Some of these options broke down areas into specific districts, but the commission believed a simpler, less complex approach is best. And the commission selected the option of Monday to Saturday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., and estimated approximately $500,000 of additional revenue would be gathered through the extended hours. Over the course of the past couple years, Mayor and Council has heard updates through memos on this topic. So just a few quotes here from our memos. The Mayor and Council did provide direction to staff to initiate outreach. And we haven't started that yet, but the plan is to start that shortly. And essentially, what happens after 5 p.m. is all the on-street parking in the downtown area is occupied. The result, what we found is employees are parking in those spaces. They're parking there for their night shifts. And after 5 p.m., there's no limits or cost to park. So we end up with full streets, and we want to provide a shared curb for as many users as possible. And that's the goal here, to make sure that as many users, different users, whether that's transit, private, businesses, bicyclists, everybody has a share of the curb. We did look at peer cities, comparing their meter enforcement hours to ours. And most of the cities do charge after 5 or on Saturdays. In fact, Tucson is the largest city by population that does not charge for on-street parking in downtown after 5 or on Saturdays. So here is a list of a couple of comparable cities. Everybody goes past 5. We would match the Las Vegas, Nevada schedule. It just so happens that that's the case. In Phoenix, they go 7 days a week till 10 p.m. And you see other cities till 6 and some till 7 o'clock and till 10 o'clock. So the plan. So right now, August and September, we are briefing the wards. The Department of Transportation and Mobility holds monthly ward communication briefings. And I've attended one of those so far, and we're going to go down the list and make sure we have some support from the wards before we go out to the public. This topic does not require mayor and council approval because we're simply extending the hours. Mayor and council approval would be required for a rate change, and we are not proposing to change the rate. It's still $1 per hour for the meters. So, so far, so good on the ward communication. Got some support from the first ward, and we're going to continue that. It's going to take a few weeks to get through those meetings. So we're drafting an outreach communication plan. The intended audience are residents and business owners in the Mercado, downtown, 4th Avenue, and University districts. The planned outreach will take place over the next 2 months. And the goal is to deploy the extended meter hours in January of 25. And we would deploy these section by section. Mercado could go first. We still have to install parking meters at Mercado. There is time-limited parking there, but we are working on a schedule with Mercado to install those meters, hopefully by the end of the year. 4th Avenue would get the extension only after downtown links is complete. Downtown and then University. The plan is to change the or to extend the parking meter enforcement hours during a school break, so potentially early January. If we can't catch that, then the springtime spring break for the university area. And here's a kind of a rough draft of the communication. I'm meeting with my communications team on Thursday to kind of polish this up. We do have a little bit of time before this goes out. Essentially it's a summary. We currently listing our current hours, what our proposed hours are, aiming for January. The rates will not change, and then we get into the purpose of the extension. And I just want to point out consultant conducted a framework curb management plan. And this plan, I just want to show you what that is, if I can get to it here. Good to go. This plan is a 266-page document, and essentially, well, I'm not going to find it right now, but the link is here. It's a guiding document for our curbs. And it talks about allocating curb space and the trade-offs between the curb uses, and that the curb should be, they can change over time, their uses and how we use them, to make sure that we provide equitable access and meet the needs of the business and community. Talks about how on-street parking is a critical resource for business. It's usually the most convenient parking option for retail customers. Meter parking supports turnover, which allows more parkers to use the on-street parking and leave when their session has expired. And managing these parking spaces with time duration and ensuring that user groups can access this on-street parking. This helps to prevent vehicles from using limited curb space for long-term parking needs. So we get to this target range that's mentioned in our curb framework. The target occupancy for our meters, for our streets, is 75% to 85%. And the city's metered occupancy after 5 and on Sundays exceeds this target occupancy range. We're at 100% occupancy generally after 5, especially Thursdays, Fridays, and on Saturdays. So extending the hours will assist in achieving this target range, and thus provides more opportunities to share the curb. And then it just goes into details about where our parking meters are located, talks about how to pay for parking meters, where to find them, more information about them. And the plan is to hold two open house, virtual open houses in September and October. We don't have the dates yet, to provide information and gather input from residents and business owners where the meter parking exists. We also plan to place a website or email address available to the public for at least a couple months to gather feedback. So that's the plan. My direction is to put a communications plan together, provide this to the wards, and to essentially, you know, come back to the commission when we're ready to go out to the public and summarize what the plan is for communication. And I'll take any comments, questions.
Graham?
Thomas, thanks for that excellent summary. It's a comprehensive plan. Couple of questions. Are there any projections for increased revenue to Park Tucson beginning January of 25 with implementation of this plan? And secondarily, when it's first being enforced, will you do warnings first or go right to citations for violations?
Thank you, Graham. I appreciate it. The rough estimate that I conducted for increased revenue generation is $500,000 annually. So if we start this in January, and that would be a tiered approach, we wouldn't realize that amount of revenue this fiscal year, but hopefully close to half of that for this fiscal year. As far as citing, we believe in warnings first. The plan would be at least 2 weeks worth of warnings only after 5 o'clock for the extended meter hours. So education first.
Excellent. Thanks, Thomas.
Jill. Oh, you're muted.
Sorry, I was having some technical problems. I have a quick question about the comparison with other cities. Do you also have information about their off-street parking inventory?
Not readily available, but we will take a look at that.
I guarantee that'll be a question. So might as well have the information ready. And then Kathy Rivers. Hi, Kathy.
Hello, good morning. I had the one concern that I had with all of this, again, for more of the entertainment districts, is will a patron be able to pay for more than 2 hours if they're going to dinner and a show? Will I be able to put in 3 hours so that I can go have dinner and then walk over and see a show? Sorry, you guys know that's always my big concern.
And it represents a lot of concerns. You're not speaking just for yourself. I know that, Kathy. And that is a discussion that we are having internally. And that, believe it or not, was the same comment received from the first ward that we spoke to. So we can approach this a couple different ways. We can just keep it at 2 hour parking until 8 o'clock, or, and what I'm hearing already is to basically just say paid parking after 5 o'clock. So we would, if it extends till eight, we know that after 8 p.m., it's just free. You can stay there as long as you want till the next morning. But for that extended time period from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m., we would definitely consider that paid parking. You could park up to 3 hours and beyond, but it would be paid parking from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. That does seem to be a common comment that we've already been receiving early on. So at the commission's direction or guidance, we can make that, you know, a part of the proposal, you know, going forward. And I believe in that. Yeah, what that would do, you know, we'll at least get one more set of turnover, you know, at 5 o'clock. So there will be that turnover of the curb after 5 o'clock. But like you said, after five, you can park for pay for 3 hours and attend both a dinner and a show. That sounds pretty reasonable for us. That wouldn't affect the revenue generations, the estimates, And really the goal is to turn over the curb. We would achieve one more round of turnover. If we keep it at 2 hour parking, we could achieve two more rounds of turnover for that curb during the extended hours. So we can continue to discuss this, but I agree that that's a good approach to do the paved parking after five without the 2 hour restriction.
All right, thank you. Is there any more comments or questions about the proposed extended meter enforcement hours? Great, I don't see any, so we can move on to item number 8, Neighborhood Reinvestment Program.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. I'm going to share my screen again. And this is a look at the proposed final draft, a clean version, finally, of the Park Tucson Neighborhood Reinvestment Program. And as you know, over the past few years, the Park Tucson Commission has reviewed several proposals to reinvent this program and make sure that we're meeting the needs of both the city and the neighborhoods. So a lot of dialogue with staff, executive teams, Park Tucson Commission, neighborhoods, and I recently attended two neighborhood meetings. One was the CCRC, the Campus Community Relations Committee, and provided all the updated information to that committee. And great participation, you know, Jefferson Park, North University, Rincon, they were all there. And felt like some pretty good feedback was received. I think we've recognized that a compromise has been reached. The original, just to remind everybody, the original version proposed for this program included two thresholds that was determined to be unattainable by most neighborhoods in the program. And that was that 25% minimum participation, and the definition of that is the participation percentage is the sold residential permits within the neighborhood divided by the available permits, and the other threshold that was unattainable was the solvency threshold, and that took into consideration the cost to Park Tucson to operate the program compared to the revenues. So originally we proposed that the RPP, the Residential Parking Program, would be solvent before dispersing funds. That required a $4,000 surplus. So it was determined, number one, that we are not meeting that. The RPP program does not pay for itself right now. However, it was determined that we still need this program. We still need to give some of the money back to the neighborhoods. And therefore, an alternate was proposed, and that was what we call the $3,000 cap. And I'll get to that. But just to summarize, we know that Park Tucson can establish this program. It's in the city code. And that there's several funding revenue sources for this program. That includes 10% of meter net income, meter exemption permits, sold residential permits, non-residential permits, shared parking permits, and then we deduct project expenditures. Earned funds for a neighborhood is calculated by multiplying the amount of program fund revenue generated within the neighborhood's boundaries by that neighborhood's participation percentage. The percentage is the sold residential permits divided by the available permits. The earned funds is the total revenue multiplied by the participation percentage. So you add up all the revenue from these sources and multiply that total by the participation percentage, which gives you the earned funds for that year for that neighborhood. Earned funds are carried over and can be used for project in current year. The individual neighborhood annual spend thresholds, we ended up right now for this draft at a minimum of $1,000 and a maximum of $30,000. That's gone through some reiterations, and we've ended up at this level here. A $3,000 cap each year on individual neighborhood earned funds. And that allows Park Tucson to watch the budget, keep spending controllable and predictable, and also provides some flexibility and also equitability for the neighborhoods to earn money. We want to cap Park Tucson's annual project spend limit at $60,000 per year. That would allow for two $30,000 projects or multiple smaller projects. Previous earned funds remain in the fund if not expended. The account basically grows. It carries over once a minimum threshold of $1,000 has been reached. So no reinvestment would be provided until the account reaches $1,000. And the program funds are limited to right-of-way improvements only. All improvements would be made in the public right-of-way. And that can address traffic mitigation items such as lighting, traffic circles, speed humps, new sidewalks and repairs, and pedestrian amenities. I forgot to mention that I did also attend the DNARC meeting, the Downtown Neighborhood Residential Committee, that was well attended. Armory Park chaired that. West University was there as well. And overall, support and acceptance of the proposal was reached. I also was able to attend an Armory Park Neighborhood Association meeting recently. Support from Armory Park was reached. And I've also reached out to all individual neighborhoods, encouraging discussion and outreach comments. But overall, it's been supportive. I know that they're having some concerns. We feel that this proposal kind of meets everybody in the middle. I do want to just remind everybody what the graph looks like here, what the chart looks like. And this is looking at 2023 only. These are just samples, you know, that we use 2023 figures and apply the $3,000 cap to the figures. So this is just in 1 year what it would look like. We have not run the 24 numbers yet, and we plan to do that shortly. And the plan is to run these numbers once per year, right around July, when our fiscal year starts, and to send an update of what the neighborhood fund balances are every year, once a year, every year. I know that's a common question from the neighborhoods. How much do I have? How much do I have to spend? So we plan to send that report once a year. We would do the deductions and additions and add that to the fund programs. Looking at the overall fund balances, so I'm just going to zoom in here just a little bit. So we can see in this total, in this column, are the actual fund balances for each neighborhood. So you can compare the fund balances with the neighborhoods. And so far, there's $309,000 in the fund balance total. If there's a maximum spend of $30,000 a year, you know, this year, using these numbers, for example, up to $207,000 could be spent in the year. And keep in mind, there's a $60,000 Park Tucson annual spend limit. So I misspoke. So $207,000 is the total of, you know, each neighborhood, if they're spent up to 30, but we would only spend up to $60,000 a year. And,
Tom, would right now be okay time for Jeffrey to ask a question?
Yes.
Jeffrey?
Hey, not a question, Tom, a comment. Speaking for the neighborhoods, a once-a-year update is unacceptable.
Okay. We can consider a multi-year update. I'd have to talk internally. Essentially, because these permits are purchased one time a year, but that's where that was coming from, so we can kind of look at it all together. But no, thank you for the comments, and we can definitely take that into account, and I can come back to the commission with an update on that. Yeah. The other thing I wanted to add was that we would provide instructions in writing to each neighborhood on a timely basis. You know, we can start off with, here's your funds, listing your fund balance, and Jesse Soto, who's the administrator in charge of our neighborhood traffic management program, he would be the contact with the city to execute these jobs. And we would, Park Tucson would provide Jesse the totals for the programs available to each neighborhood, and he'd work within those means and the mean thresholds of the program to work with those neighborhoods to execute the projects. So in summary, we originally proposed a program that did not meet the needs of the neighborhoods. We then came back, proposed a couple alternates. The $3,000 cap was favored by the commission, went out to the neighborhoods, have support, and would like staff would like to propose that the commission vote on the final draft of the neighborhood reinvestment program.
Valeria has her hand up, and then Graham.
Hi, everybody. I have a general question. So if Park Tucson's only allowed to spend $60,000 a year, but overall there's more money that could be spent, how do we choose what projects get done if there are multiple ones that come up?
Right. Thank you, Valeria. Jesse Soto would work with each neighborhood as they come in. Jesse would get started right away with that neighborhood. And I don't want to say it's a first come, first serve, because we definitely want to hear all the neighborhoods. What we can do is we can pick a date within the year and say, if the neighborhood has projects, please submit your ideas to Jesse by such and such date. That's an option that we can consider. If not, Jesse will take them as they come. First come, first serve.
Okay. Yeah, it'd be nice to have, I mean, it makes sense, first come, first serve, but I think having a date could be nice, so then the neighborhoods could have a timeline to get organized if they do wish to do something. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Graham.
Oh, same question. So I got my answer there. Relative to first come, first serve, it seems as though, as we've experienced through the participation, there are a number of neighborhoods that are highly engaged and organized and would probably be at the table every time these funds are released, at the expense of some other neighborhoods that have less participation or organization. So any way to rank, to make sure that the same neighborhoods aren't the beneficiaries each year, and you know, perhaps that's just how it works out, but if we can encourage the non-participatory neighborhoods and be sure we're informing them of timelines, deadlines, etc., so if they want to participate, they have the opportunity. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, Richard?
My grand kind of asked my question, but I'm going to extend that. Not only do those neighborhoods have more participation, but they're starting out with larger fund balances to spend too. Thank you.
Thank you. And then Nancy, you have your hand up. Do you have a quick question? Okay. Nothing from Nancy. Aaron, do you have a quick question or comment?
Yeah. So the 3K is somewhat of a compromise, right? And to address the solvency of the program. So my question is, you know, a year from now or 2 years from now, if the revenues that Park Tucson is receiving, right, from enforcement and permits, if that grows, is the $3,000 limit and the $60,000 cutoff, is that something that could be revisited?
Okay, thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry, my microphone was off. Can I ask?
Sure, please.
Yeah.
You've got a quick question.
Yeah, I agree with the two people about trying to level the playing field for everyone, but clarification on the $3,000, is that the most you can accumulate in a year?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, okay. No matter what your participation is, no matter how much revenue, you can only accumulate $3,000.
Per year, correct.
Per year. Oh, okay.
Thank you, Nancy. And Mark, do you have a quick question?
Yes, I do. Okay. I don't mean to intrude upon your conversation. I didn't know if we were limited to calling the audience or not, but as I read all that information, I see that, which we got after the CCRC meeting, it seems like we generate a lot of meter income in our neighborhood, and yet that does not seem to reflect with the 10%, that gives, in my view, an inaccurate perception of how much revenue we are generating in our neighborhood, if I'm reading that information correctly. And that seems to work against us as we're looking at, what might be available for us or the strength of our participation. And in any event, I know a lot of went into the conversations prior to my looking at this, and it doesn't seem appropriate for us to have generated all this income and then have it not be counted.
Okay, thank you, Mark. Richard, do you have a comment or question?
I do have a comment. First of all, the RPP is not solvent, period. This is just this reducing the amount of the spending for the neighborhood reinvestment gets us closer to being in the black, but we're not going to ever be in the black. And I think I'll just stop there for now. Thanks.
Okay. And Valerie, do you have another question, or is that leftover hand up?
Oh, that's leftover. Sorry. I'll take it off right now.
Thanks. Okay, I think everyone got their questions and comments in. Richard.
Remember the second part of it. And
okay.
Ticket revenue does not make the city money. The lion's share of tickets go to the state. Exactly. If we break even on it, we're doing good.
Richard, but you got to be honest. You need that parking enforcement because you're making all the money on non-residential permits. So let's not get ourselves here.
Okie doke. Thank you, okay, Richard.
Oh, absolutely. We need enforcement because otherwise there'd be no compliance.
Okay, it looks like we've got all the comments and questions wrapped up for that.
And Jill, if I may.
Please.
Yeah, if I may just add that I would like to propose to review the program in 1 year from now. Regardless of the outcome of a vote today, I'd like to come back to the commission in July of 25 to review the program, review the metrics, and look at the thresholds again and have a discussion with the commission to see how it's turning out, what the progress of the program is, and if it's meeting the intentions.
That sounds good to me. Do you think that should be like an annual thing? And then Dale. You're muted, Dale.
Thank you. I just wanted to, as long as we have the audience here that we have, and we'll talk about financial statements in a few minutes, but I want people to really understand that the program financial resources were devastated by the pandemic. The revenues and, we've been struggling to get back to zero. This has been intended to be a break-even program for the city. It has not been, and for the last 3 or 4 years. And we had about $1.5 million in operating reserves. We went through those, and we were down. The city has put in $1.5 million last year, and we're still not up to even, and revenues continue to come back, although you don't really see that strongly in the July financial statements. But the revenues are coming back. But the reality is this program is struggling to make ends meet, and there's been some expenses that have accelerated since the pandemic, may or may not been subject to the pandemic, particularly security issues that had to be dealt with that are causing budget issues. And so, you know, we want to make sure that people understand that the program is struggling to pay the bills, and the Department of Transportation and cities been having to cover parts. And so we have to keep looking at other sources, and that in addition on the enforcement issues have been very difficult because throughout the pandemic and this period of time, we were actually not allowed to hire people for a while. We've been trying to rebuild that force for the last couple of years, and it's been an uphill struggle. And I just wanted to make those comments just so everybody understands where the program is at, and that having been involved with the commission for a long time, I understand the problems with this program, and we need to get a handle on it, but we want to make sure people understand that this is we're still in a recovery mode. Donovan actually had projected originally that we were not going to be back on top until 2027 before he unfortunately left us. That has been helped by the city putting in $1.5 million, but we're still not there. Just thank you. I just wanted everybody to be aware of that.
Thank you, Dale. We have three more hands up, and we need to honor our time commitment as well. So, Graham, do you want to go first? Jim, you're good. What about you, Nancy? Let's go, Graham, and then.
I'd like to make a motion that we adopt the neighborhood reinvestment program final draft as presented by Tom, with the understanding that we'll revisit the entire apparatus and mechanism within a year based on funding.
And this is
I would Janine. Second that.
Second.
Go ahead. Take Janine.
I've got Graham and Janine.
Do we have any discussion?
I think we've already had our discussion.
I have one thing I want to just have clarity on. So since it's new, if we're going to revisit this 1 year from now, will that allow for adjustments if needed?
In terms of, if we adopt the program now, in 1 year from now, we can revisit and make adjustments at that time if you'd like, or we could always bring it up earlier and make adjustments.
Okay, that's what I was just wondering.
Yep. If the commission requests, this to be on the agenda, for discussion and any action, we would definitely bring it back to you.
Okay. And Nancy, I'm not trying to ignore you, just the rules of the meeting. The call to audience was at the beginning, so I apologize.
Well, yeah, I just had a comment on giving information to neighborhoods. I had to get the information through Rincon Heights, and I was not able to print things except by downloading Excel and being able then to print something from. So it'd be nice if participating neighborhoods got a hard copy and got information to the boards, to the presidents, because we weren't informed, except that I kibitz on Rincon Heights. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Nancy. All right, so we have a motion, and it's been seconded, and the discussion's been had. So we will move on to a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Do we have any opposed? And do we have any abstentions?
Okay, passes unanimously. Thanks, everybody. That was a lot of work.
Thank you.
Thank you. So we can move on to the financial statements. Is that Trudy? Thank
Good morning,
you,
everyone. Sorry. Give me just one second. We have some difficulties here. All right. So this is the final picture for FY24. Here's our total budget for FY24. And we see that the revenues came in just a little over $31,000. However, expenditures also went over by the $518,000. So that's leaving us with a negative fund balance closing out FY24 of $412,000. And these are our revenues compared to July of 2024. And so the only red indicator I see on this page really is at U of A Mangay, and that was for some hooding last year at this time. That's why that is such a huge difference there. And these are our expenditures where we are trending over a little in payroll due to that we have filled some positions. And our repair and maintenance is significantly higher than July of last year. And I see that was for some repair work, or I'm sorry, a hosting server that we had installed. So that's the big difference in our expenditures trending over last year. And here is a picture of our July budget for FY25 and the actuals coming in for the first month of the year. It looks like we are over in revenues from what we expected to be in July and also over in expenditures. But still having us in the black for the first month. And then here is a quick picture of all the revenues and the different types, how much they brought in. And this was added this time to let us know when our debts will be maturing and how much is left in our debt service. So we did pay off part of the Pennington Garage debt, and this is what we're left with moving forward. Do we have any questions?
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Trudy.
Yeah.
Let's move on to subcommittee reports. We'll start with finance and capital needs.
Yes. I won't add much to that other than what I said earlier, except for the fact that it is good to see the to actually see it, understand what some of the outstanding debt is. And there are obviously the two major things that are still outstanding is the LED street lighting, which is better than $4.5 million, and the Plaza Central garage still has a balance of about a little over $4 million. The other two, the Pennington Street garage is down the remaining balance of about a little over $300,000. And the parking meters are down to like $3,000. So there is progress, but I'm happy to see this information. I thank the staff for getting us this information. So. Other than that, I won't add anything more.
Thanks, Dale. Business district? I missed that meeting. Is there anybody here to report on it?
What I can just add, Jill, if you don't mind, is we reviewed the on-street parking spaces and loading zones reservations. We're looking at a online system to reserve meters and loading zones. Not necessarily loading zones yet. We reviewed the procedures to do that, but we are looking at an online system to make those reservations. Right now, the way to request meterhooding is, it's kind of an archaic process. You call the office or send an email, and it's a lot of legwork on our team. And we're working with our partner at IPS, who does our meters, to do an online system for that. And we're working through that. We're going to bring that back to the subcommittee and to the full commission next meeting. We talked about our parking meters status, and we also talked about the extended meter enforcement hours. And just one comment is to work with entities like the TCC to make sure that we roll out the extension of meter hours in coordination with them to make sure we're doing it at the right time.
Okay, thank you. Jeffrey?
Going back to Trudy.
Okay.
Have you made any headway on that 1.3 that we discussed last meeting?
Was this for the contractual services, Jeffrey?
Yes, correct.
So what we have realized is that when the services were moved out, it was done with a journal. So I can share that here with you real quick. I do have that available. So I'm sorry if these are small. I need to show them side by side so I can kind of show you what happened. So here in the revenues, we had the 1.5 million in June. And so our contractual services, you see them here at 895,000. But when we come over here to June, that revenue was moved out so that we could actually take the expenses and move them over to the funding source that was going to pay for them. Okay. So the true amount of contractual services is 1,010,378. If we just add 750,000 to this number, which is what was transferred out.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you. And then neighborhood subcommittee. Richard? Tom?
I'll just go through our quick agenda items that we reviewed during the August 20th Neighborhood and Residential Parking Committee. Gave an update on our parking permit program activity and a parking service agent staffing update. Spoke about the Neighborhood Reinvestment Program, of course, and brought it to you today. Spoke again about the school parking neighborhood impacts, and also for a future agenda item, similar to what Jim Glock mentioned earlier today, to discuss the parking situations between the street and the sidewalk. So we'll make sure to bring that to the agenda for both the neighborhood and residential subcommittee and to the Park Tucson Commission at the next meetings.
Okay, thank you very much. Marketing subcommittee.
So we haven't held one yet, and that leads into the next agenda item.
Okay, great. The appointment of new member to Park Tucson Commission Marketing Subcommittee.
Right. So I apologize for not getting on this sooner, everyone, but we only have two members listed on the Marketing Subcommittee.
That's Zach Baker and Valeria Moraga. And we'd like to have three members on that marketing committee. So I'd like to ask the commission to see if there's any volunteers for that committee.
Graham?
Certainly, Tom. I'd be happy to serve on the marketing committee.
Thank you. There's a nomination.
Kathy, I thought I was on the marketing subcommittee.
I thought I was too, so, but now we are again.
I'm putting your names on right now. Thank you. And John, maybe just take action. I'm not sure if that requires a vote or not, but just some consensus on the members of the marketing committee are Zach, Valeria, Kathy, and Glenn.
Great. Does anybody have any opposition to that? Great. Done.
Thank you. And I'll schedule that one for the third Wednesday of September.
Okay. And just since we have a second, before we move on to further agenda items, I just want to acknowledge the comments in the chat. Nancy reiterated that the information needs to get directly to members of the neighborhood after Jeffrey let her know that Bill W. is really involved in CCRC. And Mark from Rincon Heights says Rincon Heights agreed to parking meters in the neighborhoods in return for the revenues generated. So maybe that will need to be... If the revenues from the parking meters aren't available to the neighborhood, they would like to revisit that in when this is revisited.
Thank you.
Yep. Thanks, you guys. And that's any future agenda items.
And Jill, just to reiterate, the next agenda item, a new agenda item would be what... Mr. Glock, recommend.
And Richard has his hand up.
Yeah, I was the same thing, 20-260. And I'm going to say that really I work on getting it to be more than West University. And I understand the motivation to just confine it because there's so much opposition in other neighborhoods. But it's just not right to have cars parked where people walk.
I agree, and I don't think it's super in line with complete streets, which Tucson has adopted. So, you know, I think that that is something to consider for all neighborhoods as well. So I agree with Richard. So this will be agendized at our next commission meeting.
And the other thing I think we need to think about is support from the electeds.
Okay. So is this an instance where we all go back and speak to our wards, those of us that are appointed by a ward? I mean, I'll make that suggestion.
That would definitely help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anybody else to speak to your council person if you're here appointed from one of the council members? Perhaps it would be a good idea to schedule a meeting to discuss this. And I think that's it. Look at us. We have 10 minutes to go. Good work, everybody. If nobody has anything, then I'm going to move that we adjourn.
Second.
Great. All right. Thanks, everyone. Have a nice day.
Thanks, everyone.
And thank you.
Thanks, audience.
Appreciate it.
Speaking.
Thank you all. Later.